Welcome to the Closing Act YouTube channel. Join me, Christine Blanchette, for in-depth interviews of musicians, songwriters, producers, and more. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe to our channel.
Joining me today at the Rio Theater is a very special guest, Krista Rand. She's an accomplished actor, producer, writer, dancer, and she owns RadiantBeauties.com, and she's here today to talk about her successful career and her recent talk at the Producers Lab at the Whistler Film Festival. That was a bit of a mouthful, Krista, in your title. So how do you do it all? And you're a mother.
I'm a mom, yeah, to twin boys who are 6 years old, yeah. So it's a lot, but I'm very thankful that I have an incredible support system. So my husband is amazing. He rarely says no. I always come to him with so many different creative projects. I'm like, can I? What do you think? Run them by him. My mom, his family, you know, like we all just kind of, you know, neighborhood friends, and we all just kind of pitch in and try to like work together and make it all work so that I can be creative and, yeah, make a little money every so often too.
Yes. I mean, that balanced lifestyle and having that support or team is so important.
Yeah. I mean, what did they say? It takes a village, right? And it really does. It's such a cliche thing, but it really is so true. And that doesn't only apply to, like, you know, my private and personal and, you know, family life. It applies to, you know, filmmaking as well.
Yes. And you know, in the intro, you're a dancer, writer, producer, actor. I mean, which came first?
Dancing. Yeah, dancing came first for sure. That was my first love and my first passion. And then singing started, did a lot of musical theater. I was in Mamma Mia. I was the last cast in Toronto to do Mamma Mia there. And that was, honestly, at the time, it was a dream come true. But I quickly kind of fell out of love for musical theater. I mean, I still love it, but to be a performer and to like keep that up as a career just slowly started to drift away. And I found acting, and then I just kind of started to explore that. And then actually I ended up doing, I was a stand-in for about 7 years on and off for three different shows.
Wow.
And that I think was when I really started to have a wider range of, I think that was just, it was a time when I was able to kind of look at the entire crew and really understand what everybody did. And I was able to ask questions. I was part of the crew, so I could learn a lot. And that, I think, is where everything kind of started to make more sense as far as what I wanted to do. I still, at the time, couldn't put my finger on it, but I started to just, you know, create my own projects and really, I didn't want to wait around anymore. So I just started, kind of producing, but I didn't really know that that's what it was until I was in it and doing it. And now, now it's been incredible. I can't believe how many things I've done so far, and the future is like so beautiful. Like I want to keep doing more.
Yes, and let's talk about your recent talk at the Producers Lab. And congratulations, because you were the finalist in 2020, correct?
Yes, there was six emerging producers across Canada that got accepted into the program. It's a talent lab, so essentially you were given a mentor, and it was along, you know, about 6 months of time, and we really just kind of dove deep and realized, you know, where our film was, what it needed, what it was lacking. We were able to speak to so many different industry professionals that year in particular, because it was the first year of the pandemic.
Yes.
So 2020, yeah, it hit in March, and then we were online on Zoom the whole time starting in June. But it was amazing because we were able to tap into so many different industry professionals across North America, really, that were able to just pop in for an hour or 2 hours. We would get, you know, one-on-one time with them. And at the beginning of it, I wasn't quite sure why I was accepted or how I got into it. But after the first day, I was like, okay, yeah, no, I deserve to be here. And I've just learned so much through it.
Yes, for people who may not know, can you tell us about the development program? It's intensive, and so how does people find out about it?
Right, so, well, the Whistler Film Festival has so many talent labs. That's kind of their thing. They really support emerging filmmakers in Canada, and I just feel so blessed that I was able to be a part of it. So you have to apply. It's quite an intensive application to apply, and you apply with a film. So for the Producers Lab, we applied with Reuniting, which is the feature film that we're in post now with, which is amazing. And then they selected six that year, and they let me know, and I was floored. I was absolutely so surprised, because in the business you submit all these applications and for grants and all these things, and you know, most of the time it's a no. Yes. And so when you do get a yes, I was just elated. Like, I was so proud and so excited to be a part of it. And so it's about 6 months long in total, but the first time you enter it, it's a week-long program, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, 5 days, and it's super intensive in the morning to the nighttime, and you're talking with so many different industry professionals. You are assigned a mentor that you can lean on, and they really are kind of your person who you can ask questions to, who you know you can trust, you can do whatever you need, use that person mm-hmm. however you need, and work together to help your film just grow and be better, right?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's so necessary to have this type of program. And when you think about the Whistler Film Festival, it's more than just a festival.
Yes, the festival is so layered with all the talent labs that they have supporting emerging artists. There's a music component too. Like, it's not just go see films, right? It's pretty incredible, and their team is amazing. Like, what they do on such a tiny little budget, and they just make happen. They are the most passionate people. They really are so kind and so giving in every way they can be.
Yes, I mean, you're an independent producer. What is the secret to success? I mean, probably not a secret, but what is your success?
What is the secret to my success? I feel like that's like an 80s thing. For me, I would say it just comes down to my values. There's four that I live by, and that is not only in film, but it's really in life as well. And that is communication, honesty, and those two go hand in hand. You really have to make sure that you have honest communication at all times, even though sometimes it's hard. Respect, obviously, that's a huge one for me. Really being able to listen and understand and just respect the other people that you're working with. And passion, you know?
Yes.
I mean, if you don't have passion, then what's it worth?
Yeah, exactly. And how did it feel being there, giving that talk?
So I was invited to go back to the Whistler Film Festival this year. So 2 years later, here we are with this film that's in post-production now. I was able to share, you know, the stories of our trials and tribulations and all the things that went right and things that, you know, maybe I wouldn't do again. I was so happy to talk to the producers that were in the lab this year, to share with them, you know, just tips and opinions and, you know, just stories and anything I could offer up that might help them with their upcoming projects. I was very honored to be invited back, and I was definitely welcomed with open arms, and it felt really, really special to be able to do that. I think the next level would be able to take the film back to Whistler Film Festival and actually screen it during the festival, and that would, to me, would just be completely full circle.
It'll happen. And, you know, so tell us about the film. Like, what is it about? It's based on seven friends.
So Reuniting is about six best friends from college, now in their 40s. They reunite for the weekend, and at first it's all, you know, fun and games and catching up, but secrets start to bubble to the surface, and one in particular really changes the way they view their lives moving forward.
So where did the idea come from?
Well, I'm the producer.
Yes.
And Laura Adkin is the writer-director. Yes. She's also a producer on the project. We just worked together to make it happen. Laura came to me in December of 2019. She was in Whistler, actually, doing the Women in the Director's Chair Story and Leadership Program. Nice. And she kind of just did a little cold pitch to me, asked me if I was producing, and my boys were about 4 years old at the time. So for me, it was something that I was craving, and I was so happy that she asked me and inquired. And honestly, it didn't take long before she pitched me the story. It was definitely something that I was aligned with, and then I read the script and I was in 100%. Like, yes. I was so thrilled she asked me, and so thrilled that she trusted me literally with her baby. So that's, the story is all her. Obviously through the producer's lab at Whistler, we were able to fine tune it. We got a lot of eyes on it. We got a lot of notes. We were working on it. Even when we were shooting, we were, wow, you know, open to suggestions from the actors. Laura was so open to trying new things. She's an actor as well, so. You know, when it came down to shooting, she really embraced the actors coming in with their ideas, and it really was a collaborative effort. But Laura is an amazing writer, and I'm so, so proud to have helped her produce it.
That's wonderful. And so what is next for you?
So next, with reuniting, we're in post-production right now. We're aiming to be complete at the end of July, which is just wild in my brain to even like comprehend. We would do a film festival run, that's our goal, and then eventually, you know, through that, we hope to sell it. But as far as me as a producer, I have a couple other projects that I'm working on, and you know, I had to put aside while we were doing reuniting. So I'm slowly picking those back up again, and I have another producing partner, Orzi Zabo, and we have Yellow Heart Pictures. Yes. And so we're gonna start back at it again and start pitching a couple ideas that we have as well.
You sing too.
Yeah. But I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, I used to sing. I still sing in the shower and in the car and with my boys, you know, and dance around and stuff. That's always going to be like my first love. When I hear music, I just can't stop moving my body. Yes. Yeah, but producing really is what I want to do more of now. I would love to have my own series. I would love to. I'm working on a series. I've got a pilot right now. It's a heartfelt comedy series. So we've written the pilot for it, and that would be amazing if it got picked up and greenlit and we could, you know, push that forward. That's definitely something that I'm really passionate about as well. Yes. So hopefully, yeah, this business is a funny thing, you know, you have to just keep pushing forward and just find inspiration whenever you can. There's always dips, but the times when you get rewarded just feels so amazing, especially when you have really supportive people around you. And I think that's the key, right? Especially when you're in this industry, you really need to have good people around you to support you and help you and understand and just keep you going. But really, one thing I do want to say is that reuniting wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for the producer's lab at Whistler, if it wasn't for our private investors, and if it wasn't for William F. White, who really stepped up to the plate and helped us as much as they possibly could, and we are forever grateful to them.
Oh, that's wonderful, and I can't wait to see it on the screen.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Joining me today is Canadian in-demand Emmy Award-winning makeup and hair designer, Donald Mowat. He also received an Oscar nomination as well. And he's here today to talk about his latest work in the TV series Moon Knight. Welcome, Donald.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, congratulations. You have over 30 years of experience and you've been a personal makeup and hair designer for Daniel Craig, Mark Wahlberg. You've been on films like Dune, Blade Runner, 2049, the list goes on. So for people who may not know about Moon Knight, can you tell us a little bit about it? I know it's 6 episodes, it's based on a comic book, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's in the Marvel universe. To be honest, I didn't know a lot about it. I've worked only once with Marvel, briefly on one of the Spider-Mans, which I really enjoyed. But Oscar Isaac had, you know, because I'd worked on Dune, he'd asked me about working on Moon Knight, and I went along and met everybody, and would I come on as the, you know, makeup and hair and prosthetics designer and put together a team? And I thought, why not? And it was exciting, and working in streaming TV, I'd never been on something like that in, I don't know, many, many years. So it was new for me and a new challenge. And I was excited by it, and great people, and Grant Curtis and people running it. And so it was a whole new world for me, basically. And working with Oscar again and Ethan Hawke and May, it was kind of a breath of fresh air, actually, because you try something different that you think, I'm never going to work in TV, it's not my world. And suddenly you go, actually, it is. It's just, it's doing six of, you know, these episodes of something that I'm used to doing one big movie. Here you're creating little snippets that become one thing, one character, and you have a little bit more time to evolve. And so it was a lot of fun for me, because I got to get to know Oscar better. I hadn't seen Ethan in, I don't know, 15 years. I'd worked with him before, and worked with people I'd had before on my team. Luve Larson was with me on Dune. I had Amma and new people like Megan Norris. And so I got to train some people. I got to bring some new people. So it, for me, is really important. There's sort of the new and the old. It was a very good environment.
Yeah, so it takes a team, right? And
it takes a huge team. We have to create, you know, a lot of people. When you think of Oscar Isaac, just the fact that he's a split, you know, I don't want to say split personality, because there's a lot of terminology of personality disorders. Yeah. And, you know, I call it twinning, but when you have to take a double, so that Oscar's got to play Mark Steven throughout the course of one day, and that another actor or stand-in or a photo double and a stunt double have to work. You have to recreate the way Oscar looks on another man, so that Oscar is doing Steven, and then you change him later in the day as Mark, and another guy's got to dress and deliver the lines, and his hair, face, body, hand, everything has to look as close as possible. So we're making wigs, prosthetic nose for him, and doubles and stunts to make this work. And then take costume, makeup, hair, incredible visual effects, which Marvel are, you know, that's what they are, visual effects and cinematography, and blend it all together and deliver a seamless episode.
Yes, my goodness. Donald, like for Steven was like a sweaty look, maybe exhausted look, and Mark had more like, I guess, put together. Do you find it's easier to create a get together look as opposed to a sweaty look with working with digital? Like, how, tell us the process. Like,
well, I'm really glad you're asking that, because sometimes making people look good is sort of, well, that's what everyone assumes makeup do, or what hair does. So I would say it's very difficult, actually, to do very little. Hair is really hard to, I'm not a hairdresser. I mean, when I have people on the team who really do hair or do makeup, some do both. I find it really difficult sometimes. I think the hair can be too good sometimes in TV and movies. And I'm troubled by it. I think doing the makeup on something like this on Oscar, you're not going to be able to do a lot. I mean, the hair is the hair on a man. It's like, what are you going to do? It's like, you can mess it up a little. What are you going to do on me? You know, it should be sweaty. But yes, you can. I mean, dark circles. I think the vanity of making somebody look better is what all makeup artists are sort of trained to do. All hairdressers are trained to do. But making someone, telling the story, making somebody look the way you feel or look when you have the flu or COVID or when you haven't slept for a week, that takes a lot of skill. And it also requires a point where you go, wait a second, is it too much? Is it a little hokey? Is it theatrical? And that took a lot of skill. And I think it, you know, I love doing that because I think it's what I like to do. And people call me because I think, you know, it's something I enjoy. But it was very important with Oscar that it not be over the top. You have to believe it's the same guy. It can't suddenly be he walks through the door and now here's Mark with like California tan and there's Stephen because it's the same guy.
Yes.
And I really was, I did that once on a film many, many years ago. And I think I made a mistake where a producer didn't have a lot of experience and they sort of talked me into the guy having like stubble. And I'm like, but why does he have stubble? It's the same guy in the course of the same day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you see people's misunderstanding of a visual storytelling that if you're a person who's unstable, you don't suddenly grow your stubble in a minute. If you're, you see people who are, you know, not able to look after themselves. So less is more, right? So I based it on things like Ralph Fiennes and Spider, little things, you know, like sweaty. But, you know, people who look strange can be clean shaved. They don't have to look like they live in the streets. They just, there's something about them that's off. Then we do the episode Asylum, where he's got the contact lenses, dilation in the eyes. He looks like he's on opioids. He's swollen, he's slobbering. I've given him cotton in his cheeks. So it's the old Marlon Brando trick. His cheeks are swollen, so he's drooling. His eyes are all glazed over. And he looks terrible, but it's the same guy. Yes. So that's it. The same thing with May or with Ethan. We gave him a mustache and a really great wig, actually. It looks like his own hair is shorter. But it's not like some huge... We didn't suddenly change his appearance where it's bizarre or jarring. It can't look like a gimmicky disguise. You know, it's just something's different.
Yeah. So like how much research is involved? Like, do you take like from, you know, other films and you apply it from your research, like references or how does.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at things like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and The Tenant, Roman Polanski's The Tenant, Spider, Dead Ringers, because I was fascinated about twinning, about twins, even though he's not twins, but the idea is similar.